Genesis 6, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then go down in verse number 8 for sake of time. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." I want to look here in Genesis chapter 6 this evening, and I want us to look around that thought where God said in verse number 3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. My spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now that second section is, of course, I really believe, speaking of the timeline that God was going to give them from the time that men began to multiply, and that there was, you know, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. Then the Lord said, and the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God gave man a timeline. And you can read in chapter number 7, the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house in the ark. This is when Noah had actually built the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. That's what God was looking for. God was looking for man that he could see his righteousness in. As Adam lived for God even after the fall, we know that he had repented and served the Lord. His son Seth lived for the Lord. And there was an evil line, and there was a righteous line. Those that did not want to serve God, and those that chose to serve God the way that God would accept it. You know, that's what the Lord is. You know, man has in his mind, he thinks, I'll try to figure out what I believe is acceptable to God, when God has already said what is acceptable to him. Now, we know that God so loved the world, the Bible said, that he gave his only begotten Son. It is through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blood he shed on Calvary that God is pleased to pardon our sins with. Nothing else will God accept. God has made that plain, that Jesus is the way, that his Son is the truth, his Son is the life. But let's look at this picture that we find in Genesis chapter 6. When men begin to multiply upon the face of the earth. And down in verse 5, the Bible said, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, I'm going to say some things here, just trying to follow the Lord as God brings these things to my mind and heart. Today there are people that will try to blame God and say, well, God made man, and so it's his fault. Well, that's the doctrine of Satan. You see, God did make man, and he made man in his own image. But he made man with a free will. Would you rather God make you, from the dust of the earth, and then make you, like a slave, make you do what he wanted you to do? Or for God to give you a free will that you could choose? You could choose. And that's how God made man. God made man with a free will to choose. Every one of us, that part of us, we want people to love us. But I don't want to have to beg people. I don't want to have to make somebody. I want them to love me because they choose to love me. And our God in heaven, he wants man to love him because he's his creator. Because he's the one that has given him life. God is the one that lets us breathe every day. God is the one that has supplied this home on earth that you and I can eat and drink and live abundantly. God wants us to live abundantly. It is Satan and his minions, and it is the sin of the world that brings misery upon man and woman. It always has been. You find people that are miserable. Sin is at the base of it. And wickedness is at the base of it. It's not God. If God was at the very foundation of your life, surely you'd have some joy. If God is at the foundation of your life, surely you'd have peace. Amen. But God saw in Noah's day. Now, our Lord said 2,000 years ago, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah. And where, look at all this sin that was abounding. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. There had always been wickedness. Right from the beginning, Cain murdered his brother Abel. That's wicked. That's wicked. You know, a lot of people may not see things as wicked. And we're living in that generation. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said something. I said, you don't believe that's wrong? And they didn't see anything wrong with it. And I thought, my Lord, that's as plain as it can be in the Bible. That's wicked. There are some things that are sinful and some things that are wicked, some things that are ungodly, some things that are unrighteous. There are some things that are an abomination in the eyes of God. But there are people that think there's nothing wrong with it. But God saw in Noah's day that wickedness was great in the earth. It was like more abounding, more and more and more. Think about this, how wicked that it must have been. That God said, it is so wicked, it repents me that I have made man. And he said, I'm going to destroy him from off the face of the earth. I'm going to give him 120 years. In 120 years, God was going to destroy the earth with the flood. No doubt this message came around because God gave Noah the message. You see, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something right here and right now. No matter what the rest of the world is doing, you can choose to live for God. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care what's going on next door, what's going on down the street, what your best friend decided to do, what mom and daddy does, what the your kinfolk do. You can be like Noah and find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah chose to look to God. The Bible said that Noah walked with God. There could have been some others walk with God. His three sons walked with him, no doubt. They followed their father. They did sacrifice to the Lord, no doubt. They were the other three males that entered into the ark. Their wives, no doubt, served the Lord. They entered into the ark when judgment came. And so Noah and his wife, Noah's three sons, their wives, all entered into the ark. You mean to tell me nobody else could have? Sure they could have. It's not that Noah was any better, it's that he found grace. Amen? Listen, the only difference between any of us that are saved and a lost man is that we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And those saints, I mean, I was as lost as the next lost man. I'd been thinking about that today, just how lost I was. And listen, you don't have to think about how many sins you've committed to figure out, you know, just how lost you were. Listen, just being born into this world, that makes us lost. We are born into a fallen race. We have a sinful nature, every one of us. No matter how bad it is, lost is lost. Without God is without God. Whether you're like Cain and you're a murderer, or whether you're somebody that just, you know, steals somebody's cornbread every weekend. I mean, listen to what I'm saying. A sinner is a sinner. And going to hell, I mean, listen, to dying without God, you're going to hell just like everybody else. You don't have to prove that you're some grand sinner or say, I wasn't as bad as sin. Being a sinner is a sinner. Being a sinner is a sinner. And the only cure for being a sinner is Christ, is finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's that God passes by your way and says, I've got a gift for you. I died for your sins on a cross 2,000 years ago. I shed my blood in your place. Why? Because God demanded a blood sacrifice from one that was innocent for those that were guilty. And there's not a man, there never was a man that could ever stand, but God sent his own son to die his sinless life. Came to this world, the Bible said in John 1, the Word was made flesh, dwelled among us. God came to Mary and said, that which is conceived of thee, that holy thing, is of the Holy Ghost. I mean, God had put his seed in the virgin womb of Mary. She knew not a man. Christ was born, the Son of God. Jesus means Savior. In the Isaiah, it said it's Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. When he was born, he was God with us. God in the flesh. If you saw Jesus, you saw God. He said, I and the Father are one. So God died on the cross. In a body. In a body. Paid for the sin of man. Paid for the sin of that which he had created. Think about that. It repented God that he had made man. And that man is a sinner dying, going to hell. And the only way that God could redeem man that he loved, that he made, listen, without him being destroyed, is that God himself would have to die for the sin of the man that he had made. He did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen, the Son of God. God the Father looked down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. The Spirit of God lit upon him like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven. This is when he was baptized and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God looked upon the earth in verse 12, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. All flesh. Flesh is sinful. It's corrupt. It's corrupt. I don't even trust my flesh. Listen, I'm saved by God's grace. I've been called to preach. I know I have been, but I don't trust this flesh one inch. You know why? It's corrupt. Now, the Bible says this body, now that we're saved, is supposed to be the temple. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It houses him that's on the inside. And that's our position. Are you listening to me? And it'll be glorified one day. But listen, this flesh right now, you and I still, we're like Paul in Romans chapter number 7. "That which I would do, I do not. That I would not do, that do I. That thing that I really want to do for God, I seem to fail at. And that thing that I don't want to do against God, I wind up doing that." That's that flesh. You can't trust it. The Bible says, have no confidence in the flesh. The arm of the flesh, it'll fail you. It'll fail me. It'll fail you. It has failed. Amen. It failed when it could not keep the commands that God gave to Moses. When God gave him his commands and said, "Keep these commandments," man could not keep the commandment of God, and he broke God's commandments. Man never could be perfect through that. But through Christ, oh yes. Noah did according unto all that the Lord had commanded. Noah had built that ark the way that God had told him to. God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me." In chapter 6, verse 13. "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Remember when God said, "My spirit," in verse 3, "shall not always strive with man." God said, "I'm not always going to give man a chance. I'm not always going to strive with man. I'm not always going to draw man. I'm not always going to knock on his heart. I'm not always going to bid him to come. I'm not going to always give him a chance. There'll be a day that my spirit will not strive." Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." I wonder toward the end if Noah had anybody but his family, Brother Brandon, listening to the message, "Judgment's coming, it's going to rain. The only safe place is the ark that God has bid us to make." The divine will of God was in that ark. That was God's plan. That wasn't Noah's plan. He didn't know what rain was, let alone an ark. God gave him the plans, gave him the wisdom to build it. Showed him what to do, told him what to make of it. Everything. That was God's design. See, salvation is God's design. It has nothing to do with you and has everything to do with him. It's his design. And from the foundation of the world, Christ has been as a lamb slain. It's the will of God that you be saved. God wants you to be saved. God don't want anybody to perish. The Bible said it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. No pleasure at all. God doesn't take pleasure in men and women dying in their sin and going to hell. Listen, it's not going to be in the pleasure of God to finally shut off man and send his son. Are you listening to me? But one day God's going to send his son. It'll come. The Spirit won't strike you. Listen, you won't have a chance after that. There was no chance when the Spirit stopped striving. You know when I think the Spirit stopped striving in Noah's day? The day God shut the door. It started raining, and the door was still open. How many days did it rain? Was it 6 or 7 days, or 3 or 4 days, or something like that? You remember, Brother Mike? If I'm not mistaken, it was at least a couple of days. The door was open, then God shut it. God shut it. That's when the Spirit quit striving with man. Listen, there was no way in. That door open meant there's a way in. Come to me. As long as the door's open, there's a way in. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Hey, whoever got on the ark, got off the ark. Amen? That's right. Whoever got on the ark before the door was shut. Jesus said this. He said, I shut the door and no man can open. Amen. When I open it, no man can shut it. And when I shut it, no man can open. God has opened the door of grace today. Don't be fooled. It takes God's grace to be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's not what you've got worked out. It's not your plan, your little plan and what you think you've got put together, you know, to work everything out all right. Listen, salvation is by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, you can't work it out. You can't promise God, okay, God, I promise if you'll save me, I'll do this and this. If you'll just wait and let me get saved later on, let me do this stuff right now, I promise I'll let you save me or get saved. Listen, you don't work deals like that out with God. God don't work out deals. Amen. The deal was worked out 2,000 years ago when Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine. Hey, that was God and His Son making covenant for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. There's a great picture of it in the dream that Abraham had when God put him to sleep in that smoking furnace and that burning lamp, you know, around that altar there. It's a picture of God the Father and God the Son making covenant on behalf of man, making the promise. Why? Because God was going to make covenant with Abraham, and Abraham couldn't keep it, but Christ could keep it. And that's exactly the picture of our salvation. Amen? Listen, God made covenant with you. God made covenant with me concerning salvation. And God knew you and I could not keep it. We cannot keep our salvation, but Christ can. Amen? Christ can. Oh, yes, in Him was life, and the life is the light of men. We're saved in him. Amen. We're saved by his blood. Through his covenant. It was the way God said. It happened just exactly as God said. Chapter 7, verse 4. For yet 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. He tells Noah. For yet 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. So God told him. So we're getting down to the last 7 days. 40 days and 40 nights and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beast and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female, all of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowls of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Only them in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. It happened just as God said. When God told him to make the ark in chapter 6, verse 14, he told him in verse 17, I'll bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Bible says in the book of Jude that he'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. I know that is at the revelation, but listen, it's going to happen. First, the rapture is going to take place. It's going to be a picture. This is all a picture, just like when Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. He's a picture of the church. He went out. And then his son Noah was saved in the ark, and his family saved in the ark. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Yet, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And from the time God said it, 120 years. Noah building the ark. God shut him in the ark. Just like God said it's going to happen, the rapture is going to take place. I mean, it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I mean, just that fast. Faster than that. Gone. Can you imagine that happening? I mean, tonight, and it could. Bam, gone. Every saved person you know. Gone. Maybe even people you didn't think were saved. Hey, listen, but they were saved. Gone. Gone. Out of here. Caught up in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Then what will happen, Brother Mark? Well, the door's shut. Just like on the ark, the door's shut. You'll go through a great tribulation period, 7 years of great tribulation. We'll come back with Christ. And he'll destroy all the enemies of him from on the face of the earth with the brightness of his coming. Satan will try to have his heyday in the middle of that tribulation period. He'll sit in the temple of God over in Jerusalem, claiming himself to be God, trying to get the world to worship him. It's all pointing that way right now. They're wanting to turn this thing so fast over to the devil. Are you listening to me? This world wants to turn everything over to the devil, and they want to do it fast. The church is fixing to get out of here. I hope you're ready. I truly do. I hope you truly know Jesus Christ. I hope he lives in your heart. Listen, and if he does live in your heart, you know it. If he lives in your heart, you've been made a new creature. I'm not saying you've been perfect, but Lord have mercy. There's something in you that strives to live for Christ, wants to love God and serve God. When you sin, you feel awful, and you repent of it. You want to be in fellowship with God? You say, how do you know that, Brother Mark? I know because the Bible says so, first of all, and by experience, too. People can say all day long, I know because I know what I feel. I know what I've seen. Or I know because of what it said in God's Word. That's the greatest assurance a man or a woman could have, is that God himself said it. I want you to stand.